No rest for the wicked this morning. I hardly get to sit down at all. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can enter into the presence of our Lord this morning and offer him praise and thanksgiving, for God indeed is a good God and deserving of our praise. A special welcome to all those who may be joining us on the live stream. It is always good to have people joining us from near and far, members of our own congregation and people perhaps who have found us for the first time. We're really pleased that you are joining us in worship this morning. The announcements, as always, flash before you as you enter, so I hope you've had an opportunity to catch up on some of the events that are happening within the life of our congregation. Things that are of importance on the table. So if you came in this door, you didn't see them at all. On the table by the door going down to the back hallway is the tax receipts. So if you didn't receive yours last week, you can look for yours this morning on your way out. They are there. As always, a reminder to just take a look and make sure everything's right. Sometimes we find little things that we've missed in there, so do take a moment this afternoon to just review your givings for 2025 and make sure that the receipt is reflective of that reality. The annual meeting will be held on March the 1st here at St. John's following worship, so please plan to remain following worship on that morning and join with us as we hear the summation of all that happened in the name of Jesus Christ through our congregation this past year. And a special note that we're just going to try something a little different. Bob Martin has offered to pick up people who would like a ride to church on Sunday mornings. And to facilitate that, for those who are interested in that, please contact the church office by noon on Friday, and we'll let Bob know if he has any passengers. So that should work well. Friday at noon. And we'll try this week to send out a little reminder email early in the week just to jog folks' memory. And we continue this morning with our dwelling in the Psalms as we move through the year 2026. We're going to be looking at, I can't say all of the Psalms because there's only 52 Sundays in a year and there are 150 Psalms. So we won't get to them all, but we'll get to many. And especially, we're looking forward to hearing from you what your favorite psalms are. And if you let us know that, perhaps one of your favorite psalms will appear in the worship service in the year to come. Finally, a thank you to everyone who was involved in last night's dessert and coffee house in celebration of all things Scottish. It was a great evening with good participation or good attendance and wonderful desserts, and there's still some left. So do plan to stay following worship this morning for a time of fellowship, and we'll be finishing off what we didn't finish off last night. So plan to stay. It's worth staying for. I don't know if there's any more sticky toffee pudding. I don't know if there's any more of the puddings. I think there's more of the sauce. So you might just want to take a cup and fill it up. If you know me, that's kind of what I said to somebody last night. The sticky toffee pudding is really just the vehicle for the sauce. So do plan to stay afterwards this morning. As we come into worship this morning, a new hymn. That is the problem with moving through the Psalms. Is we've kind of forgotten some of the Psalms. Now, this one is one that you won't have forgotten because you never knew it before. It's a more modern hymn based on Psalm 3. And so we're going to spend a few moments teaching it now because when it comes up in the service of worship, it's going to be interspersed with the reading of the Psalm. And so you will need to know how the tune goes when we get there. So I'm going to ask Olivia if There are a couple of repeats in it, but Olivia, if you would just play through the whole thing once for the congregation. No repeats. And Roy, if we can have those words on the screen. We didn't have the page turn quite right. That's okay. The second screen, as you can see, the words are very, very difficult for you. But now we'll sing it through once, and we will do the repeats. As you feel comfortable and feel that you've got the tune, join the choir, and we will remain seated as we sing through this. I got the words wrong. See, I can do the tune. I can't do the head. I can't do the words. So that will come up at the time of the reading of the psalm. So again, as you're comfortable, join with us in that. And as always, as we enter into Christ's presence this morning, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world, and in him we find our hope. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning. And we will say together the call to worship as it appears before us on the screens. The Lord is our shield, our glory, and the one who lifts us up. Let us cry aloud to the Lord, for God hears us when we cry to him. I lie down and sleep. I wake again, for the Lord sustains me. I am not afraid of tens of thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Let us pray. Eternal God and author of our salvation, no matter what each new day may bring, keep our eyes focused upon you and our hearts immersed in your word, so that we will not fear our enemies, but rather rejoice in your presence. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our opening hymn for this morning is number 313. O worship the King, all glorious above. Hymn number 313 in the Book of Praise, or as it appears before us on the screens.
Thank you.
Friends, the good news that we have received is that nothing is able to separate us from the love of God made known to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us then in freedom confess the wrongs that we have done as we unite our voices in prayer, saying the prayer as it appears before us. Merciful God, hope of your people in every age, we confess that we have sinned against you. We have wandered from your pathways, turned toward idols, lived without compassion, and disregarded the well-being of your creation. Do not turn away from us, but renew your covenant, for only in you will our lives be healed. Guide us and lead us in your ways, for happy are those who live in your house. Amen. Friends, the Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds their wounds. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure, and in him is our forgiveness found. Thanks be to God. Amen. And as God has been forgiving to us, so we are to be forgiving of one another. I invite you now to turn to your neighbors nearby and to share with them a sign of the peace of Christ. May the peace of Christ be with you all. Our hymn is number 749. Be still, my soul, the Lord is on thy side. 749. down. Good morning, and good morning to everybody else, too. I'm going to tell an old favorite story for here at St. John's, and because it works this morning. Now, have you ever had things that you worry about, and you're not quite sure how to deal with them? Can't quite get them out of your head, right? As for people of faith, the one way that we deal with the problems of our life and indeed just everything in life is through prayer. We take time to talk to God. And there's an easy way to remember prayer. So I'm going to teach it to Kian this morning. You all know it. I know you do because you've been hearing this same story for about 40 years. But if you haven't been here for 40 years, this might be new to you. And it's called the five-finger prayer. And it's a prayer that meets with every one of our fingers of our hands. So we can kind of just kind of walk through if we remember it. And we can get them all right. Now, let me make sure that we start with our family, right? With our thumb. The biggest part of us, the one that's closest to us, is our family. So we pray for our family and the needs that might be in our own home. Then we pray for, especially for if we're young people, for our teachers, right? Those who are given the job of imparting wisdom to us so that we might know how to deal with things. Then we pray for leaders, whoever that might be. Sometimes our teachers are our leaders, but sometimes that means praying for the world in which we live and those who have power in the world to change things, right? We pray for leaders. Then we pray for the less fortunate, and it's this finger. Because this is the finger on our hand that is the weakest, right? If you put your hand down on a table, that camera, Alex, or do we want to use that camera? If you put your, which means you all have to look at my back. If you put your hand down on a table, right, you can lift your thumb, you can lift your first finger, you can lift your middle finger, you can kind of lift your pinky finger, but that finger there, the ring finger, the fourth finger, it's really hard to lift unless you're lifting other fingers with it because it's the weakest of our fingers. And so we also may have taken, did I do that too fast? Do it again. All right. I'm going to do it again for the people at home, right? We can lift our thumb. We can lift this one, the pointer finger. We can lift the next finger to it. But our ring finger, really hard to lift by itself. And then we can kind of lift our pinky finger. These two together kind of help each other out, our pinky finger and our... So we pray for people who are poor. We pray for people who are sick. We pray for people who are in need. That's our fourth finger. And finally, our last finger, our pinky finger, we pray for ourselves. After we've prayed for everyone else, we can then take to God the concerns that we have, the joys that we would like to share, the questions that we would like to ask. And hopefully, over time, God will answer all of those prayers. So that's the five-finger prayers. Our family, our teachers, our leaders. The tallest one is our leaders. Those who are in need of help. And finally, ourselves. And we're going to talk about prayer as we read our psalm this morning upstairs. We're doing I'm very, very curious about the Sunday school lessons. I think we should all go downstairs for Sunday school this morning. Because it says Beatitudes, but the scripture reference is 1 Corinthians. So I'm very, very curious. So you're going to have to come up afterwards and tell me what went on downstairs, all right? Perfect. Thank you for paying attention this morning, and we'll let you go off to Sunday school now. And my apologies to the guy at the text decks. I wasn't planning on doing that when I planned this service, this story this morning. Let us pray. Saving God, source of our calling, your word is full of power and glory. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us so that we may receive your grace and live as your beloved children. We pray all these things through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our first reading this morning is from Proverbs 3, verses 19 to 26. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps broke open and the clouds dropped down the dew. My child, do not let these escape from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and prudence, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you sit down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Then you will not be afraid of sudden panic or of the storm that strikes the wicked, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. And Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 30. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field, but while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and then went away. So when the plants came up and bore a grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came to him and said, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slaves said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'"
We read now from Psalm 3. Remember, we're going to sing throughout this, that little new hymn that we've learned, praise song. So maybe if Olivia wants to play the first part through once, follow the slides, you'll be fine. My shield about me, you're my glory, you're the lifter of my head. You, O Lord, are a shield about me, you're my glory, you're the lifter of my head. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying to me, "There is no help for you in God." But you, O Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. I cry aloud to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy hill.
a shield about me. You're my glory. You're the lifter of my head. You, oh Lord, are a shield about me. You're my glory. You're the lifter of my head.
I lie down and sleep. I wake again, for the Lord sustains me. I am not afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Rise up, O Lord. Deliver me, O my God. For you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Deliverance belongs to the Lord. May your blessing be on your people.
You, O Lord, are a shield about me. You're my glory. You're the lifter of my head. You, O Lord, are the shield about me. You're my glory. You're the lifter of my head. Alleluia.
Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Before I begin, I meant to say this last week and I forgot. But as we move through some of these Psalms, it might be helpful if you opened your Bibles to the Psalm so that you just have it there. I'm not going to say to you, now look at the Psalm. But just in case you want to look at the psalm, you can do that. So if you feel that that might be of help to you, feel free to kind of just keep your Bible open beside you for that. The psalm reading is found on page 494 in the Old Testament section, the first half of your pew Bibles. And we're rolling right along, aren't we? As we turn to the book of Psalms this morning, we come to yet another type of psalm. Over the past 2 weeks, we've noted that the psalms can be both personal in nature, like we heard in Psalm 1, and then communal in nature, like we heard in Psalm 2 last week. This morning, we come to a beginning of a series of psalms, psalms of lament. Somebody actually said to me, what's with all of these really bleak psalms? I'm not sure I like these, because I got into Psalm 3, Psalm 4, Psalm 5, and they're all psalms of lament. And that can be difficult. These are the psalms of those who feel oppressed and who are laid low, those who lay awake in their beds at night with worry, and those who wonder if God hears their prayer. Indeed, this is why the Psalms hold such an important part in the life of the church down through the ages and in the lives of many people of faith, because they do indeed speak to the reality of life, to all of the reality of life. They acknowledge that life is not perfect. In the Psalms, there is the acknowledge that all of us bump along from time to time. From day to day, we might feel blessed, and then there will be days that we may feel despair. from times of rejoicing to times of sorrow and sadness, of anger and rage. All of those emotions are given voice in the book of Psalms. Among other things in the book of Psalms, there is the recognition that we are human, and that we as humans struggle to keep our connection with the kingdom of God, sometimes with ease, but often struggling. And perhaps that's why then this transition from the introduction to the Psalter, Psalms 1 and Psalms 2, to these Psalms that we are beginning to look at is the most startling of all. Over the past 2 weeks, we've heard affirmed that those who love the Lord and hold his laws will be blessed. And nobody said it to me when they were shaking my hand at the door, but I guarantee you, all of you have had the experience of thinking, this is a day when I'm not feeling particularly blessed. Where's my blessing today? But in the book of Psalms, if you're reading through psalm after psalm after psalm, then today is the day that we really get pulled up short, because Psalm 3 begins, "Oh Lord, how many are my enemies?" Or as Eugene Peterson puts it in his paraphrase of the Bible, The Message, "God, look, enemies past counting. Too many to number." While we may not know precisely what's going on in the life of the author as he speaks this morning, these things we do know. The author of this psalm feels surrounded on all sides, and there is no way out. "Oh Lord, how many are my enemies? Many are rising against me. Many are saying to me, there's no help for you in God." And yet, despite all of these things that seem to be piling up against this individual, the author here in the psalm remembers the lessons that he has learned as part of a community of faith. The psalm goes on, "But you, O Lord, you are a shield around me, my glory and the one who lifts me up. I cry aloud to the Lord and he answers me from his holy hill." Despite the hardship he is presently facing, the psalmist has heard that God is his strength, that God is his protector. He is the, and of those who place their trust in him, he has heard all of their promises, as we heard in Psalms 1 and 2. And therefore, although all other hope may be lost, he can still rely on God. And this is important. He can still call out to God, and God will answer from his holy hill. These words are an acknowledgement that this God that we're talking about here in Psalm 3, this God that the psalmist has learned to depend upon, this is not some paltry deity that lives out in the wilderness somewhere, nor is it some capricious God who toys with the lives of the citizens of some particular place. No, this God is God the Lord. He is the God of the Old Testament, the God of creation, the God of the gift of the law and freedom from the oppressor. This is the God of life. This is the God of the psalmist's ancestors, and this is the God who is worshiped by the children of God in the temple in Jerusalem. He answers from his holy hill, that place where God has been enthroned. And as our speaker remembers that God, As he remembers these lessons that he's learned from his youth, he is given confidence in a sense that these challenges too will pass. The psalm goes on to say, I lie down and I sleep. I wake up, for the Lord sustains me. I'm not afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. There is the acknowledgement that perhaps the immediate crisis has passed. That the psalmist does indeed sleep at night. His fear has subsided. But there's also the acknowledgement that he knows it's not over. There will always be those who will challenge him, who will seek to tear him down. And so he calls out to the Lord. Rise up, O God. Deliver me, O Lord. For you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. He acknowledges that God has sufficient power to defeat all of the challenges that may arise against him, not just the challenges of that particular day, but the challenges of all of the years to come. What do we know about this psalm? In our Bibles, many of the psalms bear attributions. We're not quite sure that the attributions are correct, but they are that they are to be taken literally, but they at least set us up with an understanding from which we can begin to make sense of the psalm. The attribution for this particular psalm is that it is a psalm that David cried out when his son Absalom sought to overthrow him and usurp his power. Each time we see those attributions, they are for us a little postcard, a little sticky note in the margin of our Bible, if you will, that says to us, this is what it's about. And so for here, it is about being surrounded one way or another by the harsh dealings of this world and our overcoming of all of its challenges. Here, as in many places throughout the Psalms, these Psalms of Lament are addressed to God and speak to God about our foes and our enemies. Perhaps it is Absalom and the forces of Absalom who have risen up against David. But those enemies, as we move through the Psalms, take on different shapes and different forms. But they are the things that seek to separate us from the knowledge of the love of God and from clinging to that, to the good news of the law that we have been hearing so much about in Psalms 1 and 2. The enemy is to be taken not in a literal and a concrete sense, but it is for us to remember that the Psalms are poetry. And so it's anything that gets in the way for you. The wonderful thing about poetry is that each of us gets to interpret it for ourselves. And finally, and perhaps centrally, to this psalm is the fact that the relief that the psalmist finds begins with being strongly rooted within his faith. Remember, he talks about how God will answer from his holy hill. He talks about the assurance that he has before he even intercedes to God, that God will respond because he knows and he has been taught throughout all of his life that God is faithful. That God has abundant power to overcome the obstacles in our lives. And therefore, he need fear nothing. The reality is we practice our faith in the good times so that we can rely on our faith in the bad times. We can be confident in our faith, knowing that God will indeed rise up, knowing that God will indeed deliver us from the challenges of this world because we know who God is. And knowing who God is then allows us to face the challenges of each day because it helps us to understand who we are. That we are children of a loving God who through all of the recorded revelation of Scripture is seeking to reach out to us, to bear our burdens, to set us free, and to set a song in our hearts that we might come to know him better. Thanks be to God for his love to us made known this day. Amen. This morning's affirmation of faith is taken from the Belgic Confession. There'll be a test on the Belgic Confession at the close of worship this morning because I know you all have been studying it very, 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 very diligently. It's one of the ancient, written in the 1500s. It's a Reformed confession and is part of the faith tradition in which we believe. Article 13 of the Belgic Confession is entitled The Doctrine of God's Providence, and we have selected passages from that for our affirmation this morning. You're invited to join in where it indicates on the slides. We believe that this good God, after creating all things, did not abandon them to chance or fortune, but leads and governs them according to his holy will, in such a way that nothing happens in this world without God's orderly arrangement. Yet God is not the author of, and cannot be charged with, the sin that occurs, for God's power and goodness are so great and incomprehensible that God arranges and does his works very well and justly, even when the devils and the wicked act unjustly. This doctrine gives us unspeakable comfort, since it teaches us that nothing can happen to us by chance, but only by the arrangement of our gracious Heavenly Father, who watches over us with fatherly care, sustaining all creatures under his lordship. Not one of the hairs on our heads, for they are all numbered, nor even a little bird can fall to the ground without the will of the Father. In this thought we rest, knowing that God holds in check the devils and all our enemies. Thanks be to God. Amen. God blesses us that we might carry his blessings into the world. Let us give with grateful hearts as we present our tithes and offerings to the Lord. Thank you. Let us pray. God of mystery and grace, you have met us and blessed us with such abundant promise. In gratitude, we offer what we carry in our hearts and in our pockets. As we bring these worn and freighted offerings, we offer what you would use, we pray that you would use us, for we come in the name of Jesus. And by the movement of your Holy Spirit, we worship you in this place. Amen. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Gracious Creator, sower of life, you know the complicated histories that have carried us to this moment. You know the names of all our generations, for you are there in each story of falling away and of turning home. In our long years of wandering, and in the shining moments when we recognize your presence and find the grace to worship you, you are no stranger to the striving of the listlessness of our humanity. Incarnate One, all of creation is groaning, and so we dare to ask that you would come to us, be born again in this place. In the midst of our boredom, our self-congratulation, our closeted division, startle us with the tearing, the crying, the first breath of life that will not be constrained. Strengthen in us the fruits of your Spirit and teach us to pray. We pray for all who flee from pasts by which they are haunted. We lift up all who feel abandoned by a future for which they had hoped. We plead for all who do not know that they are loved and chosen. And we intercede for our own divided souls. Help us to trust that you are at work in every mingled heart, every conflicted community. Nourish the life that you plant within us, that we might keep seeding the world with your truth and your grace. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who gave his life for the love of the world, and who taught his disciples to pray in this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 326 in the Book of Praise. Give to the winds thy fears. Number 326 in the Book of Praise. Just a reminder, there are lots of goodies at the back this morning, so do plan to stay and share in a time of fellowship. And now, sisters and brothers, however dark the night gets, whatever you have stolen or squandered, know that you are held by a love like this, that the Creator who made you still claims you in covenant love, that the Redeemer who died for your sake still lives again by the Word of God, and that the Sustainer of all creation still breathes courage into your heart. Thanks be to God. Amen.